Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Yud Dalid. We're starting on the last line of Yud Gimel Omid Beis. As you recall, yesterday in the Mishnah, we mentioned that there were 15 memunim, 15 administrators, people that were in charge of various offices and various functions in the Beis HaMikdash. And we went through a number of them, and now we're continuing to talk about what those functions entailed. So we're up to Nechunya Choyfer Sichin, some say Choyfer Sichin, Nechunya, who would go and dig out. Right? Anyway, but the Nechunya Choyfer Sichin, he used to go and dig out the ditches and dig out wells and dig out springs so that people that were Oyle Regel or people in Yerushalayim would have water to drink. Says the Gemara, it wasn't just a question of that he was a digger and he was able to dig ditches. It involved a tremendous amount of chokhmah. She yechoyfer sichin ma'arayis v'have yoda, and he knew haydein keif mekoyrer maya v'haydein keif ispe shirav ruvi. The word keif, says Taklin Charetin, means sela. He knew which rak mekoyrer maya, from which rock you were able to get cold water. Now, we don't mean like Moshe Rabbeinu that you hit the rock and cold water came out. But presumably what he meant was where there was a rock formation, and he knew that underneath that you would have a cold well of drinking water. V'haydein keif, and he knew another boulder, another rock, ispe shirav ruvi, where there you had hot water coming out. V'ad heichon shirav ruvusei, matya. And he also knew how far that hot water extended. In other words, how deep or how wide. So he was a tremendous chacham, and he knew all of these inyan. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us Nebuch something very terrible, that Umra Blazer, Umes benoy bitzama, his own son Nebuch, passed away bitzama in thirst. And we're going to talk about this in another moment, why, when, where. If you look at the Taklin Charetin on the third line, says the Taklin Charetin, Umes benoy bitzama ki bemida she'odem zohir bo ma'oid, a person who is zohir on a particular mitzvah, a particular inyan, emhu poigim k'tzas, in other words, a person that takes upon himself a special mission, a special mitzvah, and this is something which is holy, holy, holy. This person, if chas v'shalom, at one time is pogam, he doesn't do it properly, so then chas v'shalom is medaktik on chasidav kichuta sara, and then Nebuch, his son, passed away b'tzama in thirst, and we'll talk about this again in another few lines. Stay tuned. Says Yimar Omer Abchanina, Mandi Omer Achmana, Vatran, Yis Vatran B'noi Mioi. A person who says the Kadosh Baruch Hu looks away and he waves Averois. Avad the Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts Bali Tshuva. A person did an Avera and he does Tshuva. Avad the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes him with both arms and he embraces him. But a person who's Chas Hashem Rosha does Averis and he does not do Tshuva, God will forgive me. Don't worry about it. God will forgive. No, no. A person says that, Yisvatim Neimioi Chas Hashem, his whole intestinal system could go fadrait. In other words, he could have major intestinal problems. Ella, rather, marich ruchei, the fact that the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish the person on the spot because he's erech apayim, after all, that's one of the shloish eser midois, erech apayim, rav chesed, the emes, v'govi didei, but eventually he will collect his choyf. Give him a chance. It might take 10 years, it might take 50 years, but eventually he's going to collect his choyf from the person who's chas v'shalom a Russian. Why do we get into this? Because the Gemara continues on. Omer Rav Acha Ksid, Sidu Apostle Usvivav Nisara Ma'oid Medakti Kimon Gechut Asada. Usvivav means those people who are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the Tzadikim VeChasidim, who are closer than the Hamoin Am. And those people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Medakti Kimon, he's careful with them, Gechut Asada, even if they're over just mamish on a hairbreadth. Something which is very, very flimsy. The rest of us, when I say us, I'm talking about myself, who are not on any high spiritual level, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you got to do something really bad, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should start getting angry. But the real Goyis Erel Chayim, the Goyis Tzadikim, since everything they're medactic to do perfectly, if there's one impurity, one imperfection, like Chutasara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them. And in fact, the Amora says similarly, Omer, don't bring me a rai from the previous Pasuk, I have a better Pasik, El Mimad Chsiv Sunacha Pasik, Venoiruhu Al Kol Sevivov, Moiroi Al Hakroivim, Yoisim and Arachoikim, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Moira, his awe is more on those that are close to him, the tzaddikim and the chassidim, and those are far away from him. So again, getting back to the case of Reb Nechunya, Reb Nechunya was considered to be, for our purposes, a grois tzaddik, a grois erev chayid. He spent his life helping people getting water. But one time, tzaddik l'charet, and he must have been poigim tzaz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik im chassid v'kechot ha'sara, and that's why Nebuchadnezzar was punished. But we're not done yet. We're going to soon see another story which will shed more light on this concept. So Reb Chagai b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Nachman told us Mas b'chosed echad is a Mas b'chosed echad. Whenever it says chosed echad, who does it typically mean?
Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloy or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava.
Correct. Azo yishtayt nimura. Either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloy. That applies for sure in Bavli. I'm not sure if it applies to Yerushalmi. Sigimura in Bava Kama Kif Gimel Kif Dalet. It's Tam chosed echad means Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloy. So what happens by this chosed echad? She choifer boy reshichan marais. He taka what did the same business, so to speak, as Reb Nechunya. Lo oivrim v'shavim for people who pass by, tourists, people visiting from Eretz Yisrael that needed water. His daughter was getting ready to be married. The invitations went out. And unfortunately, came a tremendous hurricane, a tremendous nora, a tsunami, and we cannot find her. And therefore, the assumption was that Nebuch, she passed away. A whole oilam, everybody came to his home. They all wanted to be Menachem. In other words, Menachem Avol, Nebuchadnezzar lost his daughter right before the Chasana. And he would not receive any tanchumen. He refused to go and receive their condolences. We had Reb Pinchas ben Yoyar yesterday with his chamar. I don't know if he went in with the chamar, but he went in nevertheless to go Menachem Avol. And even for Reb Pinchas ben Yoyar, he refused to go and receive the tanchumen. In other words, there was nothing that you could do to console him. He was so upset, and he was so Osmench. As Omar said, Pinchas ben Yoyar now was quite surprised because this Chosid Echad had a reputation of being a Chosid Echad. Otherwise, the Gemara wouldn't refer to him as a Chosid Echad. And he said, Omar Loin, he said to us, Dein hu Chasid Choin, is this your Chosid? After all, a Chosid is the type of person who's so close to Hashem, anything that happens to him, called the Avid Rachman Letavav, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for good, even though we don't understand it, and even though we don't appreciate it, Avad is for good, so he should accept the Kadosh Baruch Hu's will with a smile. Why is he not being boiling snacha? Amrulei Rebbe, so they told the Rebbe, he is a grace of chosid. Why is he grace of chosid? Kach v'kach hoyoisa. You should know every single day he digs out these sichon u'ma'orais for people to have drink, and kach v'kach hirolei, and look what happened to him. Is that mida keneged mida? Is that fair? Well, what's going on over here? He supplies water, and his daughter should nebuch be shot for nar. She should be killed in a tsunami. So now, Reb Pinchas ben Yoyar, when he heard this, Omar, it's highly unlikely that Kadosh Baruch Hu would do something like that. So lechoyra shneg keneged midasai. Kadosh Baruch Hu is always mishalim mida keneged mida to go and give a reward. Chas v'shalom to punish a person. Hard to believe. And therefore, as soon as the Pinchas ben Yoyar said that, it says in the Gemara, Tzadik goyzev HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim. The Tzadik says something, and Kadosh Baruch Hu fulfills what he says. Miyad. A moment later, nofla havara be'ir, there was a klang. Havara means like an echo, but here it means that there was a rumor going around, a report came around in the city, that bas bita shaloisa ish, that Baruch Hashem, she was saved, and zizda, and she did not die, and Baruch Hashem, she's alive, and kicking, and everything is wonderful, and everything is great. What happened? Istiyamid is one version of the story. That when she was never going down in the tsunami, she found a branch of a tree, and she was able to hold on to that branch, and the branch was either connected to an actual tree, or it was floating, and with that she was able to go and save herself. There was another version. The Malach Yorad Kidmus, the Pinchas Ben Yoyar Lahatzila, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a special Malach, and that Malach looked just like the spitting image of Pinchas Ben Yoyar, and he was Matzila because Pinchas Ben Yoyar himself said, Kadosh Baruch Hu would not go and do something like that from the Kapcha B'mai. So now there are 2 points over here. First of all, the fact that it says in the Gemara that he didn't accept Tanchumim, the Takn Charetin says something Meiridik, so the reason is because Sha'al HaMes Nigzar Lehishtakech Men Alev, Masha'enkin Alachai, What does it say by Yaakov Avinu? What does Rashi say by Yemoin Lisnachem? Because Yosef Tzadik was Taka alive, and therefore he was not willing to go Misnachem. When can Misnachem Kodesh Baruch Hu give such a feeling of Nechama? Never somebody passed away. As Nishda. Okay. However, if the person is alive, I'm not going to be misnachem. I still have a fervor and a feeling and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so just like Yaakov Avinu was not willing to misnachem on his son Yosef, and eventually Baruch Hashem, he returned. Same thing over here. He was not willing to misnachem because he also had as a full gefil that his son, his daughter was around and she didn't die, and Baruch Hashem. But now the question is, why is this story different than the story on top? In the story on top, we said that Nechunya, Reb Nechunya's son died b'tzama, and he was saying the chosid Echad's daughter didn't die because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't do that.
He didn't do any Aveirah.
Oh, so therefore, this is a continuation on the Gemara before. And Taklal Chadatin says, and also the Mishnah Seliyo says that the Pshat is because in this case, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoir realized that this Chosid loyhoyuboy afilu nidnud chait shenenesh avurai. As opposed to Reb Nechunya, who had been poiking tzas somewhere or other, and because of that, Nebuchadnezzar was punished, because Kodesh Baruch Hu is medaktik, im chasidav, kichut ha-sahara, but this chassid was such a chassid that he never ever was mezalzel, never had even a pegam ktas, and as a result, that's the reason why he knew for sure the daughter would come back alive. Oh, exactly, not for naught was he called a chassid, nishna atzadik, even a high madrega of chassidus, and that's why that happened. If you look at the Mishnas Elio on the left hand margin, Mishnas Aklanchi, Mishnas Elio, Amalei Efshahab Machabed Bore, Ein Mashi Pirashi Bekuntris. What countries is he referring to? Mashi Barashmi countries. Mishnah Seliyo is the same as the Taklan Chadatin. The same Machaber Taklan Chadatin is also Mishnah Seliyo. So what do you write, Mishnah Seliyo? Ubzem Turis Kushis Atoyis in Bovakama to Agami Nechunya Mesmenay Betzama to Hasam Hoyeloy Eze Ninut Chet Shenenash Avuray Kemoy Demai Seloh Besugia, etc., etc. However, in our case over here, skip two or three lines. Vekan Hochi Kamar. Efshav mechabed boirei hakol bechovoy, beli pegam bahu chasida vikapchen b'mayim el bavadi tenotz al yedei nes v'chein hada. So the difference between the story of Menachemia up above and this chasid echad is there was a nidnut ktsas, here there was no nidnut ktsas, and shows you how Kodesh Baruch Hu is medaktim chasidav ki chut asara. Baruch Hashem, the chasid didn't have even one chut asara, and the daughter came back alive. Baruch Hashem. Nidnud means that I feel abyssal, a kleinekite.
Like a movement.
Nothing. Okay, now we have right to the Mishnah, Gvini Krois. Gvini was the crier. What was he the crier of? He used to go and cry out every single morning, or Rabbi, time to get up, because we have to do the Trumas Hadeshen, and we have to go and start on the Avoid, and we have to be Mafayas, Chevra Kim, Kim, Kim. What did he actually say? Oh, that's what Itaka said. You have to go and do your Shiram Bezimra. You have to stand next to the Korban when the Korban is being brought. Says the Gemara, he had such a tremendous call that Agrippas HaMelech Shoma Koylei Ad Ches Parsois. He heard him 8 Parsois away. And he gave him a lot of Matonois. Interesting, our Gemara says until 8 Parsois. The same Gemara has brought him a Sechtes Yuma, and it says that Gvini Cruz's voice could be heard Ad Yerichoi. The reason why the Gemara over there says Ad Yerichoi, because we want to go and remember the people that are there in Yerichoi. But anyway, the point is that Ad Yerichoi, how far was Yerichoi away from Yerushalayim? It was 10 parsois. So why does that Gemara go and minimize it? It says it was only 8 parsois away. It was really 10 parsois away. So again, both the Taklal Chadatin and the Mishnah Seliyo both say the same thing. The Be'emesin, you could hear his voice 10 parsois away. But Agrippas HaMelech wasn't 10 parsois away. He was only 8 parsois away. So Agrippas HaMelech heard him 8 parsois.
In the suburbs of Yerushalayim.
Apparently. And therefore, he was 8 parsois away from Yerushalayim. So he heard him, and he gave Matonis Arbe because of his tremendous ability to be able to such a strong, powerful voice. You could hear it so far away. So if you're wondering how much is 8 parsois, 8 parsois is roughly 24 miles. How do you get to 24 miles? Let's think, how much is a parsa? A parsa is 4 mil. How much is a mil? Mil is 2,000 amas. So a mil is 2,000 amas. A parsa is 4 mil. Just 4 times 2 is 8,000.
You're correct.
Shimmed? Yeah, David is correct. A parsa is 8,000, but a mil is 2,000. So 4 mil in one parsa is 8,000 amas. So how much is 8,000 amas? So assuming that an amma is the largest amount, which would mean that it's two feet per amma. 2 feet per amma would mean instead of 8,000 amas, you're talking about 16,000 feet. 16,000 feet. There's 5,280 feet in a mile. Make it easy, 5,000. This is 16,000, so therefore a little bit more than 3 miles in one parsa. If one parsa is 16,000 feet, and every single mile, and it's 16,000, you divide it by 5,000, it gets a little bit more than 3, so therefore the 3 miles in one parsa. If you have 8 parsas, 8 times 3, you're talking about 24 miles. And if you're talking about 10, you're getting already close to 30 miles. So you can see, Kadosh Baruch Hu benched him with a very, very powerful voice. Anyway, continuing on, says the Gemara, Ben Gever was in charge.
Woke up the whole Eretz Yisrael.
Everybody woke up, exactly. Ben Gever woke up, was Al Nida Sharm. He was in charge of locking the gates of the Beis Hamikdash, presumably also opening the gates, but he was in charge of the gates. So it says the Gemara. The Gemara now goes off a drop on a tangent. Tirgem Rav Kumi Beis Reb Shila, Kora Gavra, Achriz Kroiza. Well, what is this Gemara referring to? There's another Gemara elsewhere in Masechtas Yuma that's going to say that when did they do the Trumas Hadeshen in the morning? Trumas Hadeshen was the very first Avodah, at the Zman of Kriyas HaGever. Now there's a big machloikis in Masechtas Yuma, what's the definition of Kriyas HaGever? One man, the Yoma, Reb Shila says, or Rav Kumi, Tirgim Rav Kumi de Beis Shila, Rav said in front of Reb Shila, that Kora Gavra, that when it says B'Kriyas HaGever, it means the Gavra, the person, the crier, which is presumably the same Gavini that we just spoke about, or Gavini's successor, or whatever, some Gavra that was crying out, and he was the one that did the Kriyas HaGever, and therefore he touched it, Kora Gavra. What did the Gavra call out? Achriz Kroiza, he made his call, he made his proclamation, he made his cruz. That was gesagt. Maybe like the Gemara said before, Imdu Kaharim Lavoida, Shtaitov, etc. Amrulei, but the Talmidim of Beis Reb Shila said back to Rav, no, maybe Emor Kora Tarnegoyla. Maybe Kriyas HaGever means when the rooster in the morning starts doing its cockadoodle-doo, that's what he means, the crowing of the rooster, the dosmentis, that's the Kora Gavra. Amalei, so he told him, I'll bring your wife and unzere Mishnah asenitaze. But we learned in our Mishnah, Ben Gever. Ben Gever was the name of the person who was in charge in the Ilish Arm. Fregechach, Isloch Lameima Bar Tanegoyla. Can you say that this person was the son of a rooster? He was son of a Gever. Ah, so therefore it's similar. The word Gever is a name of a person as opposed to the name of a rooster. So he tried to bring a rai from our Gemara that when it says Kriya is a Gever, it doesn't mean the Kriya of a rooster, it means Kriya of a Gavra of a person. Yeah.
The same thing, Anoisim Asach Vibin is a Machlaikis.
Same thing.
Doesn't mean the mind,
rooster,
doesn't mean a rooster.
Absolutely. And we continue the mission. We stay
right there. They chose that Lucian talk.
On the same time, both of them.
Yeah. The Gever came in some Beide.
Yeah.
Exactly, that's the machloikis. I mean,
when the rooster cries, it means it's out of the morning.
You see, Agav of Machan Havas Yisrael says it really is no machloikis between the two. Because at the same time, this one is Koyer Geber, then the Gaber called out, at the same time the rooster.
Cried.
Exactly, by the vine of the Zolbetzan. There you go. And we continue on with more about the Ben Pabavi Al HaPakia. Pakia means like a roll of yarn. What did he do with the roll of yarn? Show you Mizayek Psilois. He used to go and put the psilois, the wicks, into the menorah. Now that doesn't sound like any Groise Chachma, but again there's Arashim Mesechus Menachos and other Mepharshim that say that there was a tremendous Chachma. Because the Gemara Mesechus Menachos says that they always put the same amount of oil into the menorah, regardless whether it was a winter day or whether it was a summer day. So what you learn that Gemara is that the winter day, the amount of oil only lasted until the morning. They came in the morning, Shacharis, and in the middle of Psukah Zimra, they would see that the wicks would go out. But when it was during the summer days, since there's such short nights, what would happen is that the wicks might only go out in the afternoon. Rather, the first Beis Hamikdash says it never went out, it would burn the whole day. But that's a separate story. The second Beis Hamikdash didn't have that mess. Anyway, that's the Poshim Shat. However, Rashi, Maseches Menuchos, and other Mepharshim say, no, that what they used to do is that they said that the burning of the menorah should be consistent for the entire year. What they would do is that during the winter months, they made very thin wicks. During the summer months, they made very thick wicks. So therefore, it lost at exactly the same time. That this is a tremendous, tremendous chokhmah. To make it exactly the thinness and the thickness of the wicks, that it should always end exactly the same time. Psh, mamish. So this is the Ben Bavi, who's in charge of the psilis.
So it was a chokhmah, really.
That's why.
But you can make those wicks that they flicker. You have to be a mumcha.
Ben Bavi, I'm a mumcha. 100%. Says Igmar, Rabbi Yossi, O'al Lekufra. Rabbi Yossi once came to a town or a village. He wanted to go and point manhigim, like the board of trustees, so to speak, over this village, that they should take care of all of the communal needs. And they did not want to be mekabel. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us why they didn't want to be mekabel. However, the Takan Charetin gives us three good reasons. Number one, because they knew the Mishnah Mesechtas Avos, which is Usnoi Eser Rabbanis. Rabbanis over here doesn't mean just the rabbinate. It means go and try to stay away from any position of authority. Number two, V'rotzel Levroyech Menachoved. They wanted to be Bereich Menachoved, so that the Kovid would be Bereich Achrin. They just wanted to be Bereich Menachoved. And number three, Inamu Chordu Shloi Koshlu. They were concerned that if you happen to be the president, or you happen to be the Rosh HaKol, then you have a lot of responsibilities, and not always do you make the right decisions. Lots of times the decisions are wrong. Sometimes the website goes and falls and cracks for the next month, and they can't put two and two together. So anyway, so they didn't want to be appointed manhigim lekibum minay. Of the Omer Kimeyan. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi tried to convince them, and he says, "Look at our Mishnah, Ben Bavi ala Pekia." After all, being in charge of the psilois, although it was a chokhmah, like we said a moment ago, it's not considered to be on the same high madrega like someone who's in charge, the person who's in charge of the treasury. As we know, the secretary of defense or the secretary of the treasury is more important than the secretary of sanitation. They're both government positions. He's trying to work with his cell phone. It's okay. Umayim zeshin esman ala psilois zochli manis gdoili adar. Because yesterday, remember, we had one shita that said that they were the kshedim shemchol dar vadar mamish, the ones with the sterling honesty and character. Subscore go groisa groisa tzidik and groisa mention. Atim shatim esman malchayin efashir is like kolshkein. What he was telling them is Ben Bavi was in charge of something that didn't involve life and death decisions. Worst comes to worst, the wicks would be a little bit thinner, it'll be a little bit thicker, minus in the nishekvelt, and that's not the end of the world. But Chas Hashem, if you have to make life and death decisions for the community, that's much more important. So he's saying, just like Ben Vavi accepted upon himself, notwithstanding all of his and your reservations, I ask you that you should also accept upon yourself this position, because the call needs you, somebody has to be in charge, not everybody can run away. Okay, so back to the mission, Ben Arza was in charge al hatziltzel, and tziltzel means the symbols that you go and bang together and make, that's a symbolic music. It's not real music, it's not hakon kaparan, but that's why maybe it's called symbol, because it's symbolic. Yeah, okay, it's all the covered you. Anyway, it was a fine pun, right? All in good. Says Imar, ki had tzeninan taman. Just like we learned over there. Where did we learn over there? Again, Mesechtas Yuma. They were talking about Nochum, well, this is actually Mesechtas Tomid, and they were talking about that the Kohen Gadol, when he would do the avoida of the Nisuch HaYayin, any Kohen can do the Nisuch HaYayin. But when the Kohen Gadol did that avoida of the Nisuch HaYayin, since the Kohen Gadol is doing it, there has to be a certain degree of pomp and ceremony, Lekuvah the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, when that happened, Heinif HaSkan, Skan means the Skan Kohen Gudol, the assistant Kohen Gudol, so to speak, he would go and take Besudrin. He would stand there on the Keren of the Mizbeach and take out and start waving Mitasudr, that everybody should know that the Kohen Gudol is about to do the Nisuch HaYayin, the Hekish Ben Arza Tziltzel. So Ben Arza saw the waving of the flags, and he started going and banging on the Tziltzel in a very symbolic motion. And guess what happened? A moment later, then Hungris Ben Levi started Alashir. He was the choir master. He was like the head of the orchestra, the conductor. And as soon as he's... So as soon as you had the waving of the Sudrin by the Skan, and you had Ben Arza banging with the Tziltzel, Hogus Ben Levi started the Shir, Loma Hibun Tzizingin, Levium, and the Levium got their tone to start singing. says Imar Vaita. Omer Abacha, we shouldn't think that Hugras ben Levi was just stamming with his hands back and forth. Now Nehemi Yaseiro Yadea, he had beautiful melodies and apparently had a beautiful voice. V'omra Olav al Hugras ben Levi, show you manimis koiloi bezemer. In other words, he had a twice. His hand to the gross hechkop, the hechkop. Maybe he has to the gross
cancer.
The gross chazan. He was a gross chazan. Ah, very good. When he used to put his thumb into his mouth, he was able to go and produce all different types of sounds and voices and noises based on putting his finger in his mouth. When he would put his goodle into his mouth and he would make these noises, some of these noises had such an intensity to them that the Leviim that were supposed to go and start singing, they would go and fall back in a certain degree of reverence and in fright. In other words, that's how powerful and how strong, how intense the voice was. So therefore, they kind of all moved back when they heard it. Continuing the mark. Now, we spoke about this a little bit already yesterday, and the Gemara is going to repeat what we spoke about, and that is in Masechtas Yuma, the Gemara goes into it in much greater detail. Here we're only bringing parts of it, and that is the Beis Karmu in charge of Lechem upon him. This was a special formula, a special secret, and they were not willing to share it with anyone else. Initially, the Chacham were very upset about it, and afterwards we'll see the Chacham had a bissel charata because they saw they meant L'shem Shemai. So says Yuma, Beis Karmu Yibikim Amas Lechem upon him. There we go, Yibikim. Not only in how to bake the lechem upon him, but also how to remove it so that, number one, it should not crack, it should remain intact, and number two, that it should not yisapish, it shouldn't get moldy. And the Gemara explains, but they didn't want to teach anybody else outside the mishpucha, they wanted to keep this as a mishpucha secret. So the chacham were upset with them, and they figured, let's go and bring in competitors, and let's see if other people can do this just as well as Beis Karmel. They view Umnim and Alexander Shemitzrayim. They brought Umnim from Alexander Shemitzrayim. Alexander Shemitzrayim at that time was the seat of great knowledge and all the rest. So they figure there must be people over there that such experts, they can do it. She became a master lechem upon him. However, they weren't able to remove it the same way. The Gemara tells us what nafkiminit. What they would do is they would go and heat up the ovens very intensely inside, and they would let it bake all the way to the end. And what they would do is, after the baking was totally over, they would go and take out the molds in which the lechem upon him were. The lechem upon him weren't just on a large tray like they bake the breads or the challahs today, but one large tray. They had in special lechem upon him molds. They would take out the lechem upon him molds when they were still hot from the oven. And now, when they're out of the oven, now they started being roy. That means they removed the pas from the from these molds.
That's how they
removed
the mold.
I'm sorry?
That's how they removed the mold.
That's how they removed the mold. Very good. As I, such a comment really passed when we're talking about the Indian of pas. Vlohism is a precious. And as a result, the lechem upon him would not spoil, wouldn't become moldy. They put it in the mold, didn't become moldy. Shkoyach. The Elu, however, the Alexander people, hey masikim mifnim, v'roidim mifnim. Now, why didn't they also take it out? Because when they would go and take it out after the baking was over, and they would try to remove it from the mold, apparently somehow or other got stuck to the mold, and therefore when they would remove it, it would get cracked, and they would cut it. And that's no good. So what did they do? They rather took out the lechem upon him from the mold while it was still hot in the oven before it was fully baked. In other words, when it was only three quarters baked, it was a shtickle raw, figuring it's not fully baked yet, it won't get stuck to the sides, and I'll be able to more easily remove it. And that's what they did. The problem was, like Mr. Pesius, once they took it out, since it wasn't fully baked, it was still this little raw inside, it became moldy. As soon as the Chacham realized that a Kadosh Baruch Hu benched the Beis Karmel with this special Chachma that he didn't give to the Alexandria guys, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu created for his Kovach, Sholchu achareim leiratzu lovei. So the Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what happened, but Zaytzechos, the Beis Garma, were offended by the fact that the Chum wanted to bring in competitors, perhaps to replace them. So now when the Chum said, these guys from Alexandria are not worth it, and they sent them home, they called Beis Garma, please, come back to your positions. Beis Garma were offended, and they didn't want to come back. But of course, with a little bit of money, money always helps to grease the wheels.
There
was a time when in Alexandria was a copy of the Beis Hamikdash. And
really?
They were doing the same avoidance.
They meant the Beis Chonya, I meant. You meant the Beis Chonya.
In Alexandria.
That's the Beis Chonya, even in Alexandria, Mitzrayim. When I got to Shalif, that was Beis Chonya.
But that was way before. That was really destroyed a long time.
Finish giving the Bible. Why finish? That was before my time.
Alexandria.
No.
The Beis Chonya was destroyed 100 years before the story
here. Yair will come back. We'll ask him as the story.
Yeah. Is bread in French.
Pain is French, but you have to pronounce it pain, not pain. Very good. Okay, anyway, they were able to incentivize the Beis Garma to come back by increasing their salaries. Yud Beis Mana Yonoyim, previously. They exactly were on strike. Yud Beis Mana Yonoyim, previously used to go and get payment 12 mana. The Noslem Chavdal, they doubled it to 24. Rabbi Yehuda Oyman, Chavdal Yonoyim, they used at 24, but Noslem Memchas, and they gave now 48, Mamish at Hoyim the Alma, tremendous amount. Why won't you go and share with us the formula how you do it so we don't need to come on to your monopoly, you Beis Garma? We have a Mesoyra Shehabayis Hazeh Osa Lichorev Rachmon Letzon. Eventually it's going to be Karchorev Shleyilmedu Achinim V'yasal Tzim Avoy Dezor Shalhen. Stop. So we don't want that the Goyim should, if this becomes well known to the masses, eventually the Goyim are going to find out about it, and then they're going to Chas V'Shalom make their cakes and their wafers or whatever they do in their churches. They're going to model it after Lechem Panim. They'll have this Gantz Chochma. That's why we don't want them to know it. Says the Gemara, even though they were Brigis, this Gemara stops off with Brigis. We'll have another Gemara later that afterwards they were not so Brigis. But nevertheless, one thing they said, the Beis Garma are good guys. They were very, very careful that the children, when they would go Lemushal to school, and they would take with themselves lunch sandwiches before they had the lunch programs from the government, so they would go and take always black bread and not pasnikia, because it would be beautiful pasnikia, but they'd say, you know why? Because the mommies and daddies, they baked it using the same formula they use the lechem upon them in the Beis Hamikdash, and so therefore they are using lechem upon them for chulin purposes, and therefore they'd be mevazin, they avoided to go and use it. They always took black bread, they never took white bread, so Chas V'Shalom, nobody should ever say that they're giving them from the lechem upon them, from the mas lechem upon them. So that was maskin oisim l'shvach. Beis Aftinas ha-masek toyus. And this Gemara is going to be virtually word for word the same. So Beis Aftinas ha-yibakim ha-masek pitamak toyus. That what? U'bemale ha-oshen. The main thing that they knew, besides how to mix all the ingredients together to make it into a beautiful incense, was they had a special herb called the Mali Oshen herb, and this herb was such that it caused the smoke that would come up, would go straight up, as opposed to scattering
directions. And it's called Mali Oshen.
It's
some sort of ingredient.
So the Gemara borrows it from the Siddur, as we must say. Says the Gemara, but they didn't want to teach anybody else. In fact, when people wanted them to teach it, they got incensed. Even at the suggestion, and therefore they didn't want to go and teach the Masa of the Tzaydis and Mala Ushan. They brought cousins from the Alexander Shemitzrayim, other Omnin. Mala Ushan Zamnishki Kent. They had a beautiful, beautiful incense, went straight up, and after it got to a certain height, then it would start coming down and scattering all around. But if these Alexandria guys, as soon as they put on the incense, the whole thing, everybody started coughing, goes, this terrible incense all over. You can imagine the Kahanim trying to do avoid them, the smoke but kimish he can. Kimish yerach chacham b'davar. Soon the chachamim realized. Amru ma'kol mashik adibor lechvoidi barish. Nema kol nikr b'shmoy lechvoidi barosiv. Slightly different pasuk than before, but in fact, if you notice, in nusach achra we bring the same pasuk. Kol mashik b'lekadosh baruch hu lepoil el maneil shleim kol poil shem maneil. The mafarshim matzen zach if there's a difference between one pasuk and the other. Ayin sham. Anyway, sholchu achareim v'leirotzu lavoi. Again, they called back the Beis Avtinas people. Come back. We want you to do the ktayrus. And again, they didn't want to catch you. Let's chare. What was this? You base money. You know it. Sounds very familiar, yeah? Why don't you want to teach? Nevertheless, bedvarim halalu maskin oisin l'shvach, that what? Shloyotis isha mishal echa mehem mivusemes mei oilam. They didn't allow any of their girls, any of their women ever to put on any shmekedik perfumes. Why the people shouldn't say that this is from the mass of victorious. V'loi oid elik shohoye echa mehem noisi isha makam acher. If he had menfolk typically don't, hant of shiyah, but amul, men didn't wear perfume, and so therefore, if they would go marry to a woman who wasn't from the base of Tinas, what would they do? Are you poisik ima al menashe lo tizbasim? That was part of the ksuba, part of the initial conditions that she should not put on perfume for the rest of her life. Shlo yo oimrim mamasi pita b'toyris him tizbasim kaim hashinema v'yisim nekiyim hashem miyisrael yisim nekiyim. Mami just a grace to do some adrei. So give more light. Omer b'yosi ha'machas yisi omer b'yishalayim. Umatzasi tinik echon mishel base of Tinas. I met one child from the base of Tinas. Amarti loy bini meiz mishpuchat favanet kimtir. From which mishpucha are you? Amalim mishpachas pliny. I'm from the mishpachas base of Tinas. Amarti loy bini abi sechel efishin iskavnu l'rabbis kavoidan ulamayit kavoid shemayim. Your avos. Because they wanted to have their own covet. In other words, they wanted to have their own monopoly. The people should say, oh, he's from the Beis Avtinas. They have the secret formula. Nobody else can mimic them, can imitate them. And as a result, came to a mir kvoy shemayim, because people were, they were taking the pride for themselves. If that's the case, l'ficha, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu paid them back, they punished them, kvoydim nismayit, now that Nebuchadnezzar, the Beis Hamikdash is charev, you guys are out of business, so to speak. I'm sure they had other businesses. But the point is, you no longer have that grandeur and the glory that people say you're the great base of Tinas because you don't have the Pitta Maktoris anymore. Kvoit Shemayim Nisrabe, and the Kvoit Shemayim now is Nisrabe. Now, how is the Kvoit Shemayim Nisrabe? So now there's a Machloikis. Some say this is Belushin Saginohar. That Kvoit Shemayim Nisrabe means that unfortunately, Beis Hamikdash and Nebuchul Tzachar of Nebuchal Kvoit Shemayim is also down in the dumps, but we want to say Belushin Saginohar. However, other Mepharshim say Punkt Vaket. Is it the Karban Eda? One of the Mepharshim, I think it's the Karban Eda. Yeah. Karban Eda says on 7 or 8 lines before the end, you see, on top of the Mishnah Seliyo, on the left hand margin, yeah. Says the Karban Eda, Kvoy Shemayin Nisrabah, She'omru Aser Shvatim, the Yidin said about themselves, Ha Elikeinu, Ha Kshoit, our God is trustworthy. The word Kshoit means Emes. Emes, he does only the truth. Da'fil Lebeis Elonosavape, he's not nois upon him to anyone, and not even to his own Beis HaMikdash. You would think he would say, no, my Beis HaMikdash, that'll be exempt.
My house
is exempt from all. No, if Kodesh Baruch Hu feels that people are sinning and they have to Chas Hashem be punished, even his own house, Nebuch, he's going to punish and destroy. And so therefore, even the Umas HaOilam, who are makir in the Emes of Kodesh Baruch Hu, say, you see, Chaysamish Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes, that he doesn't spear anyone, even his own house, his own household, of his own Kahana Levim Yisraelim. And that's how you have the Ribbon Kodesh Shemayim, that we see Kodesh Baruch Hu as a Kodesh Baruch Hu Shel Emes.
But he seems stand up that the face of that they did something wrong.
We're not finished. We still got 2 or 3 stories to go. Rav Akiva, you always have to wait till the end of the book, in the middle of Kevin.
This one,
yeah, those
are the kids.
No, 100%.
Rav Yossi was a tanner.
Rav
Yossi was a Borsiki.
And there, that's good or bad.
Well, he's talking to somebody who's from a perfumery. So I think Rabbi said the world needs tanners and perfumers.
Very good. Rav Akiva, Sachli Shimon Ben Luga. Malakir Hayisi Asovim Ani V'Tinik Echad Mishel Beis Avtinas. We were collecting when I was still apparently he was still young himself, and he was together with a tinik, and they were collecting Asovim, probably Kuvit Shabbos. They were pulling out flowers, the Kuvit Shabbos, whatever, they were pulling out grass from the garden. V'Risi Oisoi, and I saw him Shibocha, that he was crying. This tinik was crying. V'Risi Oisoi Shesachak, and afterwards I saw that he was smiling. This is reminiscent of the Gemara at the end of Masechtas Malkus, Mitra B'Kiva. Is a Marti Loi B'ni Lama B'Chisa? Why are you crying? Amalisi told me, Al Kovid Shul Beis Abba Shin is might. We used to be Merumah Shul Oilam. We were the famous Beis Aftinas. We did every day the Pitta Maktoidis with the Mala Oshan. Now, Sugarnish, nobody even looks at us. Valoma Sachak says, why are you smiling? Amali Al Kovid Amasukal and Sadiqah Lassad Lavoi explains the Takhna Chadatin. Because the Miyat Shem Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to return to us the Beis Amigdish Bekarayv. And then we're going to be reinstated in our exalted positions. Freite Umare Issa, what did you see that caused you to start crying and caused you to start smiling and laughing? Mal'oshel enegdi, I saw the herb of mal'oshel and I reminded myself of the good old days when we used to go and pluck these mal'oshel for purposes of the pitim haktoyis. I said to Bri, Hareli, do me a favor, please show me what is that, which one is the Maloshin? Apparently there were many, many different ones there. Amali said, Rabbi Masoyas Biyadmi Avoisai Shulila Royse Libriayu. I have Masoyra and I Mishpacha not to tell anybody, even you, and therefore I cannot go and tell you Shimon Luga, I can't share it. We're not finished yet. Pogabi Zokin Echem Michel Base of Tinas. One time one of the Altas Kenef from the Base of Tinas came to me, or Megillus Samanam Bi Yodai, and he had a Megillah, meaning he had like the book of the secret formula of the Masa Haktoires. Amalini said to me, Turbiyach Menuri, Rebbe, Lisha Avar Hoyu Base Abba Tsunuan. In years gone back, all the members of our family Gibain Sinuim, we held the Masoida fest. And we made sure not to reveal it to anyone. And therefore we kept it as a family secret. We gave it only to members of our family that were Hogun and Ro'oi, Tzenuim and Chasidim and Erlechiyin. Unfortunately, Nebuch over the generations, there are Nebuch some in our family who are not such Ne'emanim. I'm afraid that this Megillah Samanim is going to get into their hands, and they're going to go and sell it, and it's going to go to the base of Avodah Zorah, and it's a Rein Tzoris. Therefore, I'm giving you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who apparently must have been the Godel Hador, the Godel in that area. You take it, you take care of it, I entrust it with you. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was so impressed. When I went and repeated this whole story before Rabbi Kiva, he started crying. From this point on, we have to be mishabeach them. I see mamish, it's takal shem shemaim. When they said throughout the generations, we have mesoira, bichorev, and we're afraid, and avodah zarah, now I see they're telling the truth. This wasn't just an excuse, abuba masa. They documented mamish l'shem shemaim. That's why they were careful not to share it with anybody else.
They never sold out.
Sorry?
They never sold out.
Never sold out, yeah. So that's the end of this Gemara, and that's why, getting back to Masechtas Yuma, that's why the Gemara over there says that some of them Rishonim say Chasadik Levracha, others Shem Rish, etc. What the Gemara said over there, and that's why it's all dependent on how you learn this Gemara and that Gemara. Okay, Mitch, we'll get to Yuma shortly, and we'll learn this right. Anyway, continue on the Mishnah, Elazar was in charge Al HaProiches. Now, what do you have to look at the Proiches? The Proiches Shtait. If you go into the Smedish, the Proiches, the ganze tzad, you could watch the Proiches the whole day and the whole night. What is he doing? Ah, Shimamuna Al Orge Proiches. Every once in a while, they had to go and make new Proiches, and they had to go and weave it. Ah, to make sure you weave it properly and correctly, blah, blah, blah. He was in charge of the weaving of the Proiches. It should be done perfectly. Pinchas was Amalvish.
That's a very rare thing that they changed the parashah.
I remember somewhere that they changed it twice a year. I remember something.
Maybe 300
maybe also the blood that went on it.
Maybe because of that. Yeah, Kenzan. Pinchas Amalvish. Shei Malvish Bigde Kahuna Gedoyla. That he was the one in charge of being Malvish. In English, they would call him a personal valet. In other words, he was very careful that the Kohen Gadol should be properly dressed and he should really look like the Kohen Gadol B'tif Artoi. We don't want him to come in, tzitzis sticking out on one side and on this side and that side. He should really look totally presentable.
Lav Dafkin.
Put the tzitzis in the pocket. I don't know if this is Shaykh by the big Kohen Gadol anyway, because here we're talking about the Shemayna Begudim. Four Begudim, Shemayna Begudim. Okay, regardless. Anyway, the Gemara tells us the story, Masa B'Kohen Echad, Shehilbish Le'istratiyois. There's the Istratiyois. So if you look at the Korban A, the second line the way in the top, Sar Misori HaChayolos. In other words, he was like a Zintai. He was like as a general from the army, and the Kohen, he was the valet for that general. The Nosan Loi, he did such a good job, and the general was so appreciative. The Nosan Loi Shmoinas Huvim, Vista Amrin, Trey Esri Yovle. Either gave him 8 gold coins or 12 gold coins. What the Gemara means to say is, don't look down upon a big deal, the valet, you can also on a valet. You're such an Aimukin on a valet. You have to be a person who really understands how it should fit exactly perfectly. The butler? Butler is a mefavan, that's a meh. Valet is either for parking or for clothing. The valet means a person who helps out with the begot. Anyway, zok the Mishnah Baita. Okay, so now we find in the previous Mishnah there were 15 mimunim. Now we're going to find in our Mishnah that there were other levels of authority in the Beis Hamikdash. Ein pachsin mishiva amarkalin. There were 7 amarkalin. What does the word amarkol mean? So the Mafarshim say it means amarkol. And even in this amarkol, there are 2 pshatim. Amarkol means he was in charge of everything. And so therefore, Omar, he said kol, in charge of all matters going on. And others say amarkol, that he had the final word, that what he said was called, that's the end. In other words, everybody else, mumafakbik and discussed, tahin and aher, Omar Karl, once he gave his psak, that was it, that was the end of the discussion. Regardless, this was obviously an important position of honor and of authority in the Beis Hamikdash. There were 7 of them. Ushloshi gizbarim, and there were 3 gizbarim that were in charge of the funds of the treasury. Now the Mishnah gets off on a tangent, and it says the ein oisin sarar al tzibah bachas mishtaim. If you're talking about any type of position of authority, you should always have 2 people together, not just one, because one person, number one, he might not get the right decision. He might make a mistake. So it's always good to have 2, and number 2, because just in case people are choshed that maybe he took some money, put in his pocket, etc. It's always good to have 2 gabuim, not just one person by himself. We only find very few exceptions. Chutzbi ben Achia she'al choyle mi'ayim. In the previous Mishnah we had, ben Achia was in charge of the Kehanim that got intestinal problems. The reason why he got intestinal problems, you remember, is because they walked barefoot and they had large consumptions of meat and of drink, and as a result they got choyle mi'ayim. So there they didn't need 2. Ben Achia, ein doktor, nishka zwei doktorim. The loser she'al aproiches, also one was enough. She'oyse kibbe roi v'tzib ralei. So in other words, what our Gemara is telling us is, or the Mishnah is telling us is, silently, that although in the previous Mishnah it mentioned that there were 15 Mimunim, 13 of those 15 really had an assistant that was together with them, but we don't mention their names because apparently they were secondary to the primary 13. But these 2 didn't have any assistants, they did everything totally on their own, because the Tzibur had tremendous faith in them, that they're trustworthy, and they know what they're doing, and everything was fine. Okay, so Zokim Urbait. In our Mishnah, we only mention the 3 Gizvarim and the 7 Amarkalim, and the Brice is going to tell us that there was another position of authority as well. Ein Pasim Megimel Gizvarim Mizayin Amarkalim, Tanibam Galint, and the Brice, and also Mishnei Katlikin. And the Taklichadatin says, the Shnei Katlikin, they were higher than the Amarkalim. So in the order of authority, you had the Taklitin were, the Katlikin were on top. Underneath them you had the Amarklin. Underneath them you had the Gizbarim. We don't even talk about the Mamunim, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly. And on top of the Katlikin, you had another 2 levels. You had the Kohen Gudol. And on top of the Kohen Gudol, you had the Melech. So you had 5 levels of authority altogether. Melech, down to Kohen Gudol, down to the Katlikin, down to the Amarklin, down to the Gizbarim. And the Gemara says, Hadou Dechsiv, and that's in fact what is Merumas in the following passage in Divrei Hayom. Now, for those of you that have the Torah Ora Shalem, you have on the right-hand margin, the Gemara brings all of the names of the people, but it doesn't tell you their positions of authority. So it says in the pasuk, V'chiel, V'azazyahu, V'nachas, V'asoel, V'rimois, V'yoizeved, V'aliel, V'yismachyohu, U'mochas, U'bnayahu, etc. It's a whole bunch of names. But it doesn't tell us what they did and what their positions were. So going back to our Gemara, Hado, Dechsid, the first people, V'chiel, V'ziyoh, V'nachas, they were Gizbar. That was their job, and they were the lowest level of the authority that we're talking about. On top of them, we had Asol, Verimois, Vizebet, Vialiel, Vismachyol, Umachas, Vinoyahu. That's 7 names counted up, 7 names altogether. They were the Markle, and they were on top of the Gizbar. But the puzzle continues on. Pekidim, they were in charge, they were the clerks. Miyad, Koinon Yohu, Vishimi, Echav. they were underneath the two Kananyo v'Shimi Echav. Why were they underneath them? Because they were the Katlikim. That was the next level of authority. And then the pasuk continues on. But they were under the authority of Mifkad Yechazkiyo HaMelech V'Azaryo Negid Beis Elikim. Who is Azaryo Negid Beis Elikim? He was a Kohen Gudel. So therefore you have now Yechazkiyo HaMelech, Azaryo the Kohen Gudel, and those were the five levels of authority. So the Gemara tells us an example. Kishu Choisim. Let's assume that you have now the Lishka is full of money and we're going to need it for certain purposes, but for the next few days we have enough funds without it. In other words, for instance, they have the Kupais where they're going to take all the money out from the Lishka Sagozes for purposes of the Kabbonis every day, and they assume we're not going to have to touch the Lishka for the next week or two or three. So what are we going to do in the meantime? Obviously we have to seal it that Chas V'Shalom you shouldn't have any Ganuvim or anybody breaking in or taking any money away. So, as we'll see in the Gemara, they had five seals, one on top of the other. What were the five seals? The Gemara explains. So, the Gemara, Kishu Choisim, when they would seal off, literally seal off this Lishka with the funds, HaGizba Choisim, first he would put on his seal, the Gizba being the lowest level, the Noisim La Markel, then he said, Markel, okay, now you're in charge. Now that Markel Choisim, that Markel would put his seal on top of that, the Noisim Katlikin, he would say, okay, Katlikin, now it's your turn. Katlikin Choisim, he would put on his Chasim, the Noisim Kohen Gudel. The Kohen Gudel was Choisim, the Noisim La Melech. That was when they were sealing it. Now, a week or a month later, when they're opening it up, we start the whole same process, but in reverse. Ukshumate, when they had to open up the seals, first the melech roye choisamoy umate. The melech sees his choisam and he opens it up. And then the kohen gadol roye choisamoy umate. So in other words, these were one layer on top of the other layer, and these were peelable layers. So when the melech peeled away his layer with the choisam, then we got to the kohen gadol's level, and so on and so forth. Our Gemara says umatir. There's another girsa instead of umatir, umakir. Not much of a difference, but it means to say that the melech would see his choisim and makir and say, yo, that's a taka my choisim. Yeah, that's a taka my chasima. That's my seal that I put on. Could be that he sealed his name on top of the seal and therefore he was makir on his chasima.
But break it. It wasn't peelable because then anybody could have taken it.
You can say.
Probably he broke it.
You know, Meheri Yibana Besamirish Matzeinim Yetshem, how it worked.
So the next one should be able to see.
Exactly. So he had to peel off his layer. So now the kohen gadol roye choisam umatir, and then he would open up his layer. And then the Katlikin Roy Chesam Matin, he would take off his, and a Marker Roy Chesam Matin, and then Gizor Roy Chesam Matin. So therefore, you had the process in reverse, and then they were able to open up the Lishka with the money. You have to have at least two. How do you know two? Rav Nachmashim Ramon Al Shem said in the Bible, the Haim Yichus Azov Etzchel Vesagoman Vesplasishan Vesashesh. The Haim is a minimum of two people, because me and Rabbi Shtayim. Now the Gemara goes off a little bit again on a tangent. Just like we were careful that the Gizbarim and other people shouldn't go and take money. Remember we had the Mishnah before that when they would go and take the Trumas Halishka, they wore special begotim that didn't have cuffs to them. And then when they came out, they would open up the seams to show that they didn't insert any money. And they made sure that their mouths were full of water from beginning to end so that they didn't put any money into their mouths. If they had a big chup, they had to either take the chup off or they wouldn't be allowed to be the Gizbarim to take out the money. So they were very, very, very meticulous and very careful. The Yisim the Kiyim.
What's up, Tegabe?
No pockets. Exactly. The Yisim the Kiyim. Mamish Yisim the Kiyim.
Why should they be choshed them to begin with?
Oh, so now, even though the Yisim the Kiyim, the Gemara is going to tell us something terrible, which we know from Rashi brings in the Chemish, that unfortunately, you always have Leitzonim Shebachol Dar Vadar, and the Leitzonim were even choshed Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, can you imagine? Onam Mi'oy Mikol Amin. Anyway, so about saying being Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara tells us Moshe Rabbeinu himself was wealthy. The question is, how did he become wealthy? Chas V'Shalom, did he go and take up a salary from the Mishkan, or did he take a percent or a commission from the Zav Etcheles? Chas V'Shalom. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu become wealthy? Says the Gemara, Heshe Moshe. I'm sorry, Nachwa. I skipped a line. Amar Reb Chuma Bei Reb Chanina Mipsoilus Shaluchos Heshe Moshe. Moshe became wealthy from the Pesoilus of the Luchos. Pesoilus of the Luchos means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Moshe Rabbeinu, HaDuch Sid Pesol Lecha Shnei Luchos Avanim. Pesol Lecha means to engrave and to carve out to from the stones, and these were special sapphire stones, which were very, very precious. And after he carved out the letters for the luchos, then obviously he had the psoilus. Psoilus means that fell away.
It has to do.
The residue, so the balance, whatever, the remainder.
But doesn't that have a kedusha, that the
psoilus? Well, apparently not. So it says, Yimara, psoilucha, what's a psoilucha? Should have psoilucha, because Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's yours, since it was precious stone. That lucha, therefore he was able to have ashiris based on those stones. Amr Bukhanin, Machse Shalabana, Toivis, and my gold is brother, Kedush Baruch Hu, Toycha, Haloi. Umena Heshe Moshe. He said, no, Kedush Baruch Hu made a special nest. Specialness was that in Moshe Rabbeinu's oil, in his own tent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a machtsav. A machtsav is a quarry, but not a quarry of where you dig out iron or something like that, but a quarry that you dug out of Avonim Toivis and Margolios, gold and silver and pearls and precious stones. And from them is a Gemara and an Osh. Now the Gemara finishes off. Ksiv. People would watch until Moshe Rabbeinu got back into his oil. Now, what were they watching? So you have a masa like by Noach. That what? Those people that some said bad and some said good. Now, it could be that both of these are true. In other words, that among Klal Yisrael, you had some bad apples that said bad stuff, and then you had the rest of Klal Yisrael, the rank and file, who agrees, Maminim b'nei Maminim, Erlechin. Exactly. What did they say? Take a look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Chamun Tzakin. Look at his thick thighs. Chamun Karin. Look at his thick legs. Chamun Kupin. Look at his thick flesh. In other words, they were saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was stout. And in fact, if you see in the Mikros Gedolos Chumash, you have Moshe and Aharon. Moshe Rabbeinu is pictured as being stout, and Aharon is looks like a very thin person. You know, is it Tavertel?
Yes,
either from this Gemara.
From the Gemara.
So the Veltzik Tavertel, I don't know how true this is, because it says that Amushteit in the Torah, Moshe Beharn. Amushteit in the Torah, Harn and Moshe. It's Melamed Sheshkulim Hein, that they were equal. So we always learn equal in stature, equal in Rochnius. However, they were saying they were equal in weight. Now we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very tall. How do we know he was tall? Because he used to go and he was 10 amos tall to be able to go and put up the Mishkan. It doesn't say that Aaron was tall for Keret. Aaron was probably shorter because he needed the 3 steps to get up to the Menorah. But if they were the same weight and he was so tall and he was so short, but it's not that he was thin and he was thick. So it's really the opposite. Aaron was taka heavy. Okay, but it's just divi halotza. But anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, Secham and Kupa, they were critical of Moshe Rabbeinu that he had fat legs and fat feet and fat that. From that picture, it's fakir. He was thin, he was tall. Anyway, Ochamin do you die? Vishatim do you die? You know how he has this thickness? How is he so fat and how so corpulent? Because he's taking from the yin, he's eating from them, and he's taking and drinking from them. Komin delay, all anything that he has, Ochamin do you die? So these, of course, are the naysayers of the Gnai people, and that's Vibita Achra Moshe. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu, look what he looks like. We should have the schus to go and see Erlechin Groysa Tzadikim. Umazaki, this will be a schus for us. Toivia, it's a wonderful day, it's a really good, it's meritorious for us. The Zalkas Lamechma Yossi to go and see Azai Erlechin like Moshe Rabbeinu. We should only have the schus to Zain Groysa Erlechin Tzadikim Kedoshim Kedoshi Elian Groysa Groysa Mention. They say that when the Chofetz Chaim was traveling from Radin, I think, to Warsaw, Dachsamir, for the Knesset Gedolah, or Marienbad, Gedenknish. Anyway, they say that crowds heard the Chofetz Chaim is traveling. Every train stop, thousands and thousands and thousands of Eden came to the train just to be able to go and see the Chofetz Chaim. And they say the Chofetz Chaim was traveling together with the Ger Rebbe, the Imri Emes. And the Imri Emes, the Chofetz Chaim, of course, was a great Onov, and he sat in the seat and he wouldn't want to. So he said, Chofetz Chaim, you don't know the thousands of Yidin that want to see you. Stand up in the window or at the door, the people should be able to see you. So Chofetz Chaim stood up, so everybody should be able to go and see the Hadras Panim. But it's that great Chofetz Chaim. Oh, halavai, we should go and have that schus today. There was the Yiddish Avart years ago, but at least when it had, they reprinted a copy of an article from the foreword, not the American foreword, this is the foreword that was written back in Europe. And the foreword, we're going backward to foreword. Yeah, anyway, so the foreword, as everybody knows, was and still is, was a very, very leftist paper, and they're unfortunately Grace Sassoine, yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway, very leftist, and they left us, yeah. So one of their reporters was there, touche. One of their reporters was at that Knesset Gedoyla. He was reporting about, you know, probably to try to find whatever deficiency or defect he could probably find. Anyway, so he wrote about the Chofetz Chaim coming in. He writes with such a cheres hakodesh, you would think he's the Gres the Chosid. He said, Chofetz Chaim came in, 10,000, 20,000 people stood up on their feet to see the Hilik Chofetz Chaim. I become emotional just thinking about how he wrote. A person who was Nishka Frema Fraya, but Chofetz Chaim was such a Kadosh Elyon that everybody had such tremendous awe and respect. This is what they're talking about, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aschus Sezein and Erlachid, Agroes and Tzadeg, Agroes and Kodesh. On to the next Mishnah. Zog the Mishnah Vaitim. Dalet Choy Samos Hoyu Bemikdash. We spoke about in the previous Mishnah that there was someone in charge of the Chisamis. Who was that someone? Yochanan ben Pinchas was in charge of the Chisamis. Now, we already mentioned the Mishnah yesterday. What means Chisamis? It doesn't mean the seals that we just spoke about a moment ago, but rather these were tokens or coins or receipts of some sort that they would distribute in the Beis Hamikdash to those people that purchased Nisachim for Karbonis. And, as we explained yesterday, when you bought Nisachim, you didn't go directly to the Nisachim guy and buy from him the Nisachim. You would find out what the price was. You'd go to the cashier, the Gizbar. You pay the cashier whatever the price was. And then he would give you a receipt, and you took that receipt, and you brought it over to the Nisachim person. The Nisachim person then would dispense the Nisachim for you. Now, bear in mind that on a daily basis, there were needs for three levels of Nisachim. What's this three levels? So everybody knows this, that both legabi the mincha, which means both legabi the flour, as well as the liquids, which means the wine and the oil, there were different amounts depending on whether it was a bakar, cattle, or in other words, oxen or cows, or whether you're talking about an ayil is a ram, or a keves, which is a lamb. The difference between ayil and a keves, as everybody knows, this is over a year old, and this is less than a year old. Yeah, the 13th month, Pilgus. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so what's the difference between the three of them? So when you're talking about liquids, state in the Torah, chatzi ahin yelapar, ushlish ahin la'ayil, or revias ahin la'keves. Ah, so yeah, you have a half, and you have a third, and you have a quarter. If you want to think about it in regular numbers instead of in fractions, every hin, as you know, had 12 lugin. So a chatzia hin was 6 lugin. That's for bakar. If you're talking about for an ayil, you had a third, which is 4 lugin. And if you're talking about for keves, you had 3 loig altogether. Okay, so it's 6, 4, and 3. Now that's legabe liquids. What about legabe solids? Shloisha esroinim lapar. Shnei Yisroinim la'ayil, v'yisroinim la'keves. Ah, so here you had 3 Yisroinim, 2 Yisroinim, and 1 Yisroinim. So if a person was bringing a bakar for his karbon, his minchas esachim would be, I need 6 loig of this, and I need 3 Yisroinim of that. And if it was an ayil, it would be 4 loigin, and it would be 2. And if he was bringing a keves, it would be 3 loigin, and it would be 1 Yisroin altogether. So therefore, Dal Chasam is saying that Mikdash V'Kosav Alein, Egel, Mitzachar, and Gedi. Egel is referring to a calf, which means from a bakar. As we'll see in the Mishnah in a moment, it made no difference whether it was a big, big, heavy cow or a young calf. They had the exact same din. Zachar is referring to an ayil, because in Gemara Lashon, ayil and zachar are interchangeable terms. Sometimes you might use the term dechar instead of zachar. And gedi, although we normally associate a gedi with gediizim, but it's the same thing, both gediizim and gedi kvasim, that means a young keves. Okay, those are the three. What is their choyte? The choyte is referring to the mitzayra. What was special about the mitzayra? Every mitzayra had to go and bring 3 karbonos, Rabbi Isai. What were the 3 karbonos? An oila, mit achatos, and mit an asham. That was the asham mitzayra. 3 karbonos all together. Aha. Okay, if the person was a wealthy mitzayra, he brought 3 of the sheep family. What were the 3 of the sheep family? The oila and the asham we had a couple days in the Gemara ago always had to be a zachar. So these were kvasim, a keves and a keves. Aha. What about for the chattas? The chattas was a kivsa. So therefore you had 3 of the kvasim family. Okay, so then be 3 times 3 loig. So why didn't you just give him 3 chosamais? Why did he have to have a special chosam? But remember, the Metzayir Ulta had to have an extra loik shemen that they put on the oizen and on the behind eyes. So he needed 10 loik altogether. No, the others don't fit the pattern. So therefore you had to have the fourth one that they have the choyte. Choyte is referring to the Metzayir. And the Mishnah is going to explain this all shortly. So he would have a special coin, a special token, a choysim, which would have 10 loigin altogether. This, by the way, is only by a Metzayir Oshir, not by a Metzayir Dal. Because Metzayir Dal didn't bring three animals, he only brought one animal together with two oifis. The oifis were a chatas oif and an oilis oif, and an oshim of the behem. So for him, as the choyda, what did he need? He didn't need oifis, there's no din in nesachim. There's only nesachim by behemis. So therefore he only needed three loig for his kibs, for his keves, for the oshim. But he also had to have a fourth one. That's the loig of the shemen to put on the behemis on the oizen. Aha. Okay, so we're going to discuss that in a moment. So according to Tanakhama, you had four chaysamis. You had for the bakar, you had for the ayil, you had for the keves, and you had for the metzayda oshir. Well, ben azay oimer, hey ho you, there were five. V'ramis kosev alein. It wasn't written in Hebrew, it was written in Aramis, in Aramaic. What was written? Egil dechar gidi choyte dal v'choyte osher. So there's two machloikas in therefore between the Tanakhama and Ben Azai. Tanakhama says there were four, Ben Azai says there were five. Ben Azai, the Tanakhama says it was written in Hebrew, and Ben Azai says it was written in Aramaic. The only difference that we see in our Mishnah is dechar instead of zohar, but maybe there were other differences too. It's not clear from the Mishnah how the others were different, because the choyte egil and egil is al bazach. Maybe they wrote here egla, like egla tilza, vaisish. Anyway, the Mishnah is not masbih. So you have over here, now why did you have five for the choyte dal and the choyte osher? So the choyte osher was the same for both of them. The choyte dal, because Ben Azai felt, here I need four loigin, because besides the three loigin for the osher, I need the one loig, so I need four. So ezakirecht. So why did the Tanakhama only have four and not five chasamis? Imar will address that in a moment.
Zachar would be for both, because Zachar was also four logan.
I'm sorry, once again?
You said that Zachar was also four logan, right? Zachar for your aisle, you had a...
Yeah. Avada, but what about the amount of Isorin?
Oh.
Right? The aisle has... No problem. Continue on. Zokti Mori Yetzvaiter Nachamul. So now the Imar explains all the four. Egel Mishamishim Niski Bokar Gdoil Muktana. Because the Torah is not mechalik between a big, heavy, 2,000-ton cow or a small little calf. Gdoil is exactly the same. Zokhar Mekeva. The Torah doesn't make a chalik between Zokhar and Mekeva. And therefore, all Egel, all Bokar, all the same. Gdi Mishamishim. We skipped Zokhar. We skipped Ayil, we're going to come back to it. Gedi is Meshamish im Niske Hatzoin, Gedoilim Uktanim, side that should be big ones or small ones, of course, all within the age limit of the Kevis. But it makes no difference if it was a heavy or a small one. Scharim Kevis, whether it was female or male, male or female. Chutz Mishelayim, the only exception to the Tzoin rule was the Ayil. And that's the Zohar, and that's the Ayil, the Ayil Meshamish, that's the one we skipped over. Ayil Meshamish im Niske Eilim Vilvad, that was only for the Ayil. You didn't use it for any. Anything else. The Gemara is going to talk about what about a Rochel. Rochel is a female ayil. What's the din over there? Mar Mitchem, in other words, by the keves, the Torah is machali between a keves and a kivsa, or a kizba. Those are the same age level. When you get up to the ayil, which is over a year, over 13 months, you have ayil and Rochel. What's the status of Rochel? So the Mishnah is mashma that a Rochel fits in with the Gedi. Because we said Gedi is Gedoil Mektanim Schar Muna Kevis. The only Nafkimina is the Isle, the male Isle. Which we'll see in the Gemara. Okay. Choyte Mishamish Im Niske Sholish Behemish Shol Matzayra. Like we said before. And not only Niske Sholish Behemish, but also that extra loig for the loig Shem. Now, Mishu Mavakish Nesachim, person who wanted to buy Nesachim, Hoylechloi Eitzel Yoichanan, he would go to Yoichanan, that was what we had in the previous Mishnah, Yoichanan ben Pinchas, right? He was the one that was in charge of the Nesachim, and this works very nicely, according to Taklin Charetin, the same Mishim de Gra, then each generation, the one that was in charge, was also always called Yoichanan. So he went to Yoichanan, Shemun Alechasamis, Venoisle Mois, he told him, I am buying one of the three, or one of the four, one of the five tokens. He told, token one, you only have to pay a token payment. For the other, the larger ones, you have to pay a more modest or a more a larger amount. Okay, the noisily Moshe gave him the money. Umekabli mena choisem, and therefore he got afterwards his choisem back. Now he gives Achiah and he says, oh, chadachto mine choisem. The noisily choisem, he gave him over the choisem, and he would inspect it to make sure that it was a chasima toiva, that it was a good choisem. Umekabli mena nesachem, and then he would get his nesachem, he would get his nesachem. Very good. Erev that night, every night, Achia and Yochanan would sit down and would get together, would make a cheshbin. Those they do a daily balance sheet to see the income and the deductions and the expenses.
Double entry bookkeeping.
Achia moitzes, he takes all the chesamos out and he sees, you see, I have 100 chesamos, umakav kenegdan mois, and now he would go and pay him the money. I don't know if they Mamish paid him the money, was on the ledger, but the point is they made a cheshbon at the end of the day to make sure that all the money was exactly perfect. In Pachsa, what happens if they saw that there was not enough money, and there was more chesamis, but there's not enough money? Pachsa, even though Chas Shomi didn't do anything, but nevertheless, apparently there was some negligence over here, something went wrong. He had to pay it. Bishalom Yerchem, he basically had to pay from his own pocket. Wasn't such a rewarding experience here. V'moisiru, what happens if in fact there was more money than there were chesamos? I see language, then it goes for she had hengish al yoyne. You don't say, okay, Yochanan, you made extra money today. You did a good job in selling the chesamos. You made a profit. No. You had hengish al yoyne like we had yesterday. Now, Mishavu the chesamos. What happens if a person bought his chesam in the morning and maybe he said, you know, I'm going to come back a little bit later. I'm busy. Blah blah blah. Whatever. The kahanim were busy. So he has his chesam, and unfortunately, like the tendency of Bnei Adam, the chesam fell down and he can't find it. Is Mamtid Lo Yarif. So they say, you know what? Rebbe Leib, we're going to wait until tonight. In other words, what they would do is at the end of the day, since every night they always made a cheshbon, they saw how many chesamis are there. I only have 99 chesamis, he said. Hey, but I see 100 nesachim were taken during the day. Oh, is the chesimim that this taka lost his chesim? He's not telling a lie, it's taka true, and therefore we'd go and pay him the nesachim. In other words, we give him a new chesim, we'll bring it the next day. And if they didn't have, okay. To make sure that you didn't have any ramayim, they would write down on the choisim the exact day, the exact day. The Gemara is going to say on Mishim tomorrow, it wasn't that they wrote down one day, Sunday, because then he can go and bring it back and use it next Sunday. So therefore they wrote down not only the name of Sunday, but also the name of the Mishmar. I got to date, we'll see Mishim in the Gemara. Just learn another 2-3 lines, and then we'll finish.
And they erased it daily? Is that they were able to erase it?
I don't know if they erased it, they just constantly minted new coins. This Sunday, today, the Mismidish can't be erased. Next Sunday. I'm sorry, what's up to you?
Coin or was it paper?
Paper was also expensive.
Papyrus. Anyway, today it's not going to come because Amen of Abba, Biyam, Arabi Shabusais. Mechim Sunday, Kim Mashiach, Metzim, Klua, Pinklech, all these things. Says the Gemara, another couple of lines. Remember, we had the Tanakhama said there were only four. And you had one choite that was from the Metzora Asher, and then Aze had five from the Metzora Asher and Metzora Dal. Right tomorrow, okay, Ben Aze, choite Dal, Loma Hoye Mevi. Why Loma? Why did you have to have a fifth? The Choyer Tanakam is right. The Metzora, who's bringing three animals, he needs 9 + 1 = 10, for Shteich. But he's only bringing one animal. One animal, let him use a gdi, like usual. Every tomorrow, you know why? Oh, you maybe lugan imai, because you needed not only 3 lugan, you needed 4 lugan. That's why you had to have a special. He would go and bring a gdi. In other words, he would buy a gdi. You have to have an extra loig. One loig he'd bring from his home. He'd bring it from his house. In other words, he wouldn't buy a loig. He'd bring a loig along with him. In his pocket, he had a loig, and if we only had to buy 3 more. Okay. Thank you, more. Niski Rachel Mahein. What's the Niski Rachel? We spoke about this before. That's the female ayil. What do you do with that Rachel? What, in other words, the ayil we know had a larger shear than the kephas. So what about the Rachel? Did she have the same as her husband, so to speak? In other words, as the ayil, the male counterpart? Or did it have the same as the kephas? The Timara, Kimada Tanina, like we learned in our Mishnah. Mishnah says clear. And therefore, Hado Amri. Therefore, it's crystal clear from our Mishnah that Niski Rachel can Niski Gidi. Okay, we'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and I get in Chodesh.